Now, 20 years old, he was a teenager when he was charged. Former Rutgers student Darun Ravi was sentenced to 30 days in jail yesterday for spying on his roommate Tyler Clementi during an intimate encounter with another man. Ravi was found guilty of bias intimidation, invasion of privacy, and hate crimes, as well as interfering with a police investigation. He could have faced a much harsher sentence of up to 10 years in prison and deportation. The fall 2010 suicide of Tyler Clementi, a shy freshman who was planning to study music, put a national spotlight on issues of cyberbullying, suicide prevention among gay teens, and the application of hate crime laws. We spoke with Columbia University law professor Suzanne Goldberg about the sentencing.
The 30-day plus community service plus a fine sentence that the judge imposed was somewhat surprising in light of the judge's initial comments, which focused on Ravi's failure to offer a significant apology to the family and to offer any apology at all to MB, the other man who was in the room with Clementi at the time of the webcamming.
Both the prosecution and the defense plan to appeal the case, but in terms of a legacy, the legacy may already be established. Richard Kim is executive editor of The Nation magazine, and he joins us in studio this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Celeste.
So let's talk about just the legacy of what this means. There are many specific cases of individuals that end up in legislation or end up changing society or laws. The John Brady case, Matthew Shepard, of course, mm-hmm. expanded hate crime. So what do we take away from this case?
Well, actually, you know, I think the one of the takeaways from this is outside of the law, and that's the attention that this is given to anti-gay bullying. And, you know, I say this as a gay person, as someone who grew up in New Jersey like Tyler, as someone who played the violin like Tyler, as someone who was the victim of bullying. And so it's great to see all this attention from students and teachers at bullying of gay children. And you see Dan Savage's campaign, for example, the Gets Better campaign, which took off after Tyler's unfortunate death. In terms of the law, I think it's a lot murkier. I think what you are seeing from this is a scrutiny placed on whether or not this hate crimes law in New Jersey is overly broad. Would it have been fair had Darun Ravi, who did not commit a violent crime and who was not actually held accountable for Tyler's death, was sentenced to 10 years in prison? And I think you're going to see people investigate that law and to see whether it's overly broad.
I wanted to play one more comment from Suzanne Goldberg of Columbia University Law. This is her talking about the legacy.
I think what we also see is that prosecutors who seek a conviction on an anti-gay hate crime have the possibility of winning their case, and that will in turn create more opportunities for prosecutors to consider seriously pursuing cases when they have evidence against a perpetrator.
Would you agree with that, that this is a message to prosecutors that to take this seriously?
I don't, actually. And I think when the judge sentenced Ravi to just 30 days in prison, that angered definitely prosecutors in court yesterday. You know, I think when you look at this, these hate crime statutes were passed in the wake of Matthew Shepard's murder, which is a horrific, horrific crime. And that was a violent crime. And I think that was the image that most people, and I think legislatures also had in mind when they passed these laws. This was not a violent crime, and I think there are other ways to sort of address this before it gets to the point where you have to use a law and order system.
But you point out, you use the Matthew Shepard case to wonder whether or not we need hate crime legislation, i.e., the two perpetrators in that case were not prosecuted under hate crimes.
That's true.
And they're in jail for the rest of their lives.
Exactly. And in many states, you could be sentenced to life without parole or the death penalty for murder cases. And judges generally have wide latitude to take into account already outside of hate crime statutes the mindset of the perpetrator when they make sentencing decisions. So the law already allows for that kind of flexibility to take into account the context. And I'm not sure that hate crimes, actually serves as a deterrent effect, which is the other argument for them.
All right. Well, then let's do as you suggest and set the legal precedent aside and go to the cultural implications. One of the things that seems to have changed is that gay activists, members of the gay community seem to have seen this as a reminder that maybe they need to become more protective of their own community. Maybe they need to be reaching out to young people.
I think that's absolutely true. And I've had lots of conversations with students and teachers about how to create a better environment so that someone like Tyler and someone like Darun Ravi could have actually worked issues out and become friends, maybe. That's not unimaginable to see happen in the world. And, you know, just I read a statistic the other day that said 40% of homeless teenagers in New York City are gay. So that's a problem, you know, and I think if anything comes out of this that's a lasting and good legacy is that there's attention to the the troubles that gay teenagers face.
So what do you make then of these two kids, teenagers at the time that this all happened, as symbols of something, as Darun Ravi becoming a symbol for homophobia, as Tyler Clementi becoming a symbol for the persecuted teenager, the gay teenager?
Well, you know, that's certainly what happened in the media crush after the suicide. And Darun Ravi's parents referenced that yesterday in court. If you read Ian Parker's great anatomy of this case in the New Yorker magazine, he really takes apart this image that came out in the media immediately afterwards, that Darun Ravi was this homophobic bully that hated gay people. And this idea went out that Tyler Clementi's sex was actually publicly broadcast. It never was. Only Ravi and Molly Wei saw a brief second of it. So there were a lot of misperceptions that emanated from the case when it first erupted. And I think that impacted how people have seen it. And once you know the facts of it, you do see that this is a more complicated instance. And I'm not going to say just boys are boys and that's fine. I think what Ravi did was illegal and a crime, and he was convicted and he should be punished. I think the sentence in this case was a fair one.
But in the end, when we look back at this, did this case, the attention paid to this case, the seriousness of the legal charges and the sentencing in and of itself, does it make gay teenagers safer?
You know, I don't think any individual case does that. I think it's going to be the actions of a lot of parents and a lot of neighbors and a lot of friends and professors and administrators at colleges and schools to make that happen. You saw Tyler's mother in court the other day, and it was one of the most moving points of the victim statement, impact statements. And she said, how could all these people know this was happening? Ravi sent out a tweet about this, and nobody intervened. And I think that's a very fair question from Tyler's mother and something that we as a society have to address. How could other people have witnessed this kind of bullying happen and not stepped in to do the right thing?
All right. Well, that's Richard Kim, executive editor of The Nation. I know many of you have comments about this and probably reactions to the sentence, either positively or negatively. You think the sentence was too light, fair, or maybe not light enough? Richard Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you want to respond, you can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment at thetakeaway.org.